Salutations. What is up, everyone? I know it was a long introduction, but you know what? Patience is a virtue, and I cannot apologize because this beat is just a straight banger. It is fire. I want to give a huge shout out to NK Music for producing this beat. I had to steal it, man. It was a great beat. Well, if you don't already know by now, my name is Jorge Luis Quintero, and I am the host of Quintero O Dinero. I hope everyone is doing well. I know it's holiday season right now, and Thanksgiving's coming up. For the people that are traveling and seeing their family members, you know, just make sure you're being safe, being aware, paying attention, and, you know, just following the basic simple procedures of as basically as just washing your hands. Cannot emphasize that enough. Make sure you're washing your hands, you have hand sanitizer, and, you know, you're taking care of yourself at the end of the day. And wearing your mask when you're around people. Be courteous. Well, guys, in today's episode, my special guest is Sean Sykes. Sean Sykes is a personal trainer, private gym owner of the gym that no one knows what it's called. You make your own name of it. He won't give out the location until you hear this podcast. This dude is a fucking ninja. This dude is literally a ninja. You see him train, you train with him. He's a ninja. This dude is the definition of an athlete. This man loves being an athlete so much, he wants to die being an athlete. But not only is he only working on his craft, he's also helping out his clients. He's telling people what they don't want to hear, but what they need to hear. He's keeping it real. He wants to better humans. Humans nowadays are getting softer on each other, and, you know, we're not keeping it real with each other no more. We want to make people feel better. Well, we need to tell them what they need to hear and not what they want to hear. He reminds me of David Goggins, fearless warrior and not soft at all. And he's about it too. And if you want to find out, hear the podcast and find out at the end. Let's give it up for Sean Sykes. Cheers, man.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me. Podcast, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. First off, I wanted to say congratulations on your new studio, man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
your own personal gym.
Long time coming for that one. You were training with me when I was at an apartment complex. So,
yeah,
but I mean, it's free training. There's no overhead with that.
No, not at all.
So I did what I had to do.
It's finesse, you know, we have to finesse sometimes to be able to reach what we want.
Yeah. I mean, in my world, when I was doing that kind of training, my rates were lower. And any other gym that I would have gone to that wasn't a Gold's or a Lifetime, I would have had to pay $500 to $1,000 to rent just so I could use the gym to train out of. But in my mind, the way that all these new apartment complexes are that are downtown that are being built up have like these state-of-the-art gym facilities. And I was like, if I'm allowed to have one guest and all I do is personal train, then I'm jumping in here and doing it.
No. So, yeah, might as well take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even think you need a gym. You don't need to get a gym membership.
No.
You could go to a park, do pull-ups there, dips. You know, you can just figure out your ways.
Exactly. Around. It's easy to say from a standpoint where me and you come from fitness backgrounds, but it's like for a lot of people, though, if I were to walk into, let's say, Rackspace, and then they're like, well, it's easy to program this, man, just go in there, that's like the easy stuff, go in there, I'd be like, what the fuck, like I have no clue where to start, even how to even turn the computer on and get it working properly. So that's kind of what I have to understand when people come in. It's like I want to tell them, like, you know, you need to be out there doing stuff without me when you're not in session. And then I realize, like, wait, they're coming to me because they don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? So
definitely. Yeah,
but I get it, though.
Yeah. You're a teacher. You're a teacher of your own art.
Yeah.
Do you ever consider yourself an artist?
No, I know artists, like people who do art, and I'm nothing like them. You know what I'm saying? They're nothing like me, but definitely not an artist, but definitely a professional at my craft, though.
So as far as you having your own gym, how long was that a goal that you set for yourself?
I knew this was going to happen when I was like 8.
8 years old?
Yeah, it was already there. Like, my mom was real into fitness. I always had more fun. Like, I was in sports, but I always had more fun when we had, like, off-season training, stuff like that, because I would just always be in the top 5 of whatever we were doing. And then I had a couple good high school coaches, and I just realized, like, oh, you know, I can get paid to be in the gym. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to eventually have my own gym. Like, just being a personal trainer at somebody's gym is not going to be enough. I can need my own shit.
Yeah, so, of course. Yeah. Got to manifest it. Let's take it back a bit. So what got you into training?
Yeah, so my whole family, by the way, first off, no disrespect to them, are not in shape. So my mom was in very good shape in her younger years. And You always had me into sports and stuff, and I just liked the thought of like training, working out, working hard because you progress, and I would see myself progress as I played through the years of like football and stuff, and I was like, man, if you just work hard at it, you know, you can get basically whatever. And then I just felt like when I got older and wasn't playing football anymore, I just knew, I was like, man, that's what I want to do. I got to do something athletic and with fitness. So my mind's always been on training. I've always been like this.
I think it's like that with just athletes. You know, we never want to stop training. We want to take it to a different level.
Yeah.
So as far as like when I finished cross country and track, was just, I already did my time with cross country and track. Now let's do something different.
Right.
With training, there's so many different ways you can sculpt your body. You can be a bodybuilder. You can be an athlete. What are you trying to sculpt yourself to become?
I just want the word fitness to mean something more. So like you said, like, I don't want to be a one trick pony. I don't want to just bodybuild, or I don't want to just do CrossFit, or I don't want to just do triathlons, but I want to get good at something. I don't want to master it. And then I want to move on to something else so that I can always come back to what I was good at whenever I want. But to keep my body guessing and to keep myself engaged and working out consistently all the time, I don't ever want to get stagnant. So like November 2019, I started training for a triathlon, for an Ironman. And it was way out of my realm because I just don't. I'm a sprinter my whole life. Yeah. I've never done long distance anything. So I got a bike, I got a road bike, and I started training for triathlons. And the amount of weight that I was losing because of not being able to keep up with the food was like, you know, I don't like it. But then the way it made me feel, like, oh, when you conquer like a 50-mile bike ride, it's just like, damn, I just did that. You know what I'm saying? Badass. And so I love the triathlon thing, and I'm still doing it because I have an Ironman in April. But right now I was focused more on like gaining strength and size, like CrossFit kind of cross training stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, when you're doing all that running, it takes away like that muscle mass.
Yeah.
And you start becoming, you know, you're shredding, you know, you're definitely shredding.
Yeah, you're getting lean, and that's a great look. I'd rather be lean. Trust me, I would never want to be some big, like, bulky dude because that carries on later and you're going to have to get rid of it. Still weight on your heart. You know what I'm saying? So my thing's always been take care of your heart. So I guess I just love the way the triathlons and the high intensity interval training makes me feel. So
definitely. Because a track and all the mileage I put on, I can take like a 3-month break and still run like a 3-4 mile run.
Yeah.
And feel good.
And probably have a low resting heart rate. You probably walk around with a low resting heart rate still. I mean, you train that thing, so.
So it's been about like 2 months, 3 months since I've gone on a run.
Yeah.
And today I ran.
Okay.
And you know, I was like, all right, this guy's coming. He's gonna have a podcast. Yeah. You know, he kind of motivated me, you know? Yeah. So I've been like dealing with an injury. The run, it's kind of a hesitation, you know? Cause I've been doing bike rides, which is like, should I go for the run or should I not? You
right,
know?
Right.
I don't want to prolong my injury, but I went for the run today and I felt fantastic.
What's the injury?
Sports hernia.
God.
Yeah.
How long would the doctor say you were supposed to be out?
A month and a half off break.
Right.
You know, I took the break that was necessary, but I rushed into it right away. So I ended up prolonging my injury and I sat out like another 3 or 4 months. And then it was, you know, working my way into it. Lately, I've just been like doing my training, my mobility work. And I feel very good in cross country, running such long distances. Yeah. We don't really get to use our glutes or hamstrings. Now, like, they're activated. So when I went on a 2-mile run today, I felt like powerful.
Yeah, I've been working on the same thing, activating my hamstrings. It's a big deal. Change is a game changer. Just certain things you don't pay attention to muscle wise. But man, going on that run today, that's great that you did that before I came in.
Hell yeah.
I don't run like that anymore, bro. But I try to, but I'm dealing with injuries as well. Just from running on the road, like I went straight into the triathlon thing and just didn't even think about it. I was just doing half marathons on my own, just training.
Just
go out and do like a half marathon, 8-mile run, 9-mile run. I was doing it like every day. And I was, because I was so determined. At first, it initially started off, I was like, I want to go under 6 hours in the Ironman. It's a 70.3 Ironman. So I was like, man, I just want to go under 6 hours. And then in my first time I jumped into the swimming pool, started training laps again, I was like, okay, fuck. Like, this is going to be way harder than I thought, because this swimming shit takes it out of you. And then you're starving.
Sorry.
You get out of the water, you're starving. So, and then I'm realizing like, oh shit, I got to get clipless shoes on my bike, on the road bike. I got to get this. I got to get that. Like, I got to get clothes that are so, like, so I went through it and definitely like jammed my hips up, jammed up my knees. My ankles are messed up. My Achilles went through like the weekend warrior stuff where you just have that fucking like tendonitis kind of going on in the Achilles, my heels and everything. And I just wasn't taking care of my body. And now I'm definitely paying for it. Like, it's caught up quick. And it's just like, nope, can't do this lift. Like, and I didn't get in. So I'm taking a break kind of from the triathlon thing, but I'm still doing my long rides. But whenever I came into the gym, now I want to do kind of like this powerlifting CrossFit kind of thing, just because I'm I mean, it's a long story. Like, I'm good at, like, all the endurance of CrossFit.
Yeah.
So I figured if I could just learn how to lift weights, I'm going to fuck them dudes up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, the dudes aren't that, they're not as fit as they say or whatever. But yeah, the motherfuckers are fit. Because I started trying to do all the heavy, like, I do 50 burpees. And then it's like, all right, now you got to deadlift 225 50 times. And I'm like, fuck. And then the next day you wake up, you can't move or walk or anything. And I'm like, now I'm dealing with shit. And I got shit all wrong with me. I'm like, I didn't even ease into it. I just go gung ho.
Just go 0-100 real quick.
Yep. Huh? That's how it always has been with me. And I'm like, dude, I gotta stop. I'm getting too old for that shit.
Yeah, like, it's because when you're young, you get that motivation. You don't feel it. I hate when people tell me that, like, you know, you're getting a little too old.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a way, they're not kind of wrong. It's just our bodies are not adaptable to how they were back then.
Yeah, it's just taken on a ton of impact over the years. All that shit catches up to you, man. When you were 7, if you fell out of a tree and landed on your back, that shit's gonna catch up to you eventually. I mean, however, you know, rough you were. So
I think it's like with our age, we have to pay more attention to, like, little things like recovery,
right?
Especially recovery.
Yeah. And have the patience, because you're still at an age where you're still off the ego. Tripping off the ego when you're in the gym. Especially, there might be, you know, my girlfriend comes into the gym. She comes to the gym. I act like I'm fucking, like, the most unstoppable motherfucker. When she comes to the gym, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get on the ski erg for 10,000 meters and show her, you know, who I am. And it's just that ego. And then you take that ego and you're like, fuck, warming up. I don't got time for that shit. I'm going in. And that's the problem. I think that's my problem. I need to be patient.
Be patient.
And just work. And, like, you know, I'm good at what I do. And it's funny because for all my clients, we go through this, like, we go through this. We go through the loading process. We go through all kinds of different movements and mobility exercises. We make sure that everything is correct, that the way their posture is, their form. We do all of that. And I get in there and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. By any means necessary, I can do it. And I'm like, damn, man. Like, I got to stop with that mindset and start thinking, like, if I was training myself, like, if I was standing right next to myself, telling myself, don't do that shit, or chill, or don't do that, rest, calm down. So
I find that ironic. I mean, the first time I trained with you, the first thing we were doing was, like, warming up, easing our way into the workout, you know, foam rolling. And then for you to say that trips me out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I put on my running shoes. Once I walk out of the door, put the music
you're
flying, on.
You're going.
I'm out. There it is. And I'm not very fast, but I probably will never be very fast. I hate running, but I like it. But after like 2 or 3 miles, I don't like it anymore. So more props to you, man. That's just amazing to be able to run the way you run. What are you still running? Are you still running like a good mile split, or what'd you do like today? You said you did 2 miles.
Yeah, 2 miles. Roughly like about 14, 15 minutes. So like 7:30 pace.
Oh yeah. And that was easy for you?
Yeah, that was easy for me.
I run like a 7:30, seven. Like, my fastest 5K last year was like a 2019. And then the year before that, when I was doing more interval stuff, it was like a 19 something. That was like the fastest I've ever gone.
You think 5Ks are brutal, but in college, it's 8Ks and 10Ks. And 8Ks are terrible, but a 10K, it takes the fucking soul out of you.
Yeah. I mean,
straight up.
6 miles of cross country, y'all aren't running on a track. Y'all are.
Yeah, we're running in mud.
See?
Anywhere, you know?
It doesn't matter. Still popping off like 5-something miles, 6-something miles, right?
Yeah.
That's wild.
The national champions, they go under 5 minutes. They're like 4:30.
That's wild.
4:20s are
flying. Their ankles are somehow intact and not completely rolled out of there. That's crazy.
That's a different game. I mean, cross country, that's a different lifestyle.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And the amount of it's the wear and tear that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So you know how, like, you said you want to do more running now, like focus on your long distance. Now I want to focus on, like, becoming more of a sprinter, you know, becoming more explosive.
Right, right. It's crazy how it changes. You've seen, like, sprinters, the way they look.
Yeah.
Versus cross country. So when people come in, they're like, I want to look like that, like the sprinter, because they see the tone and the muscle and the size on the sprinter from building up all this muscle from the anaerobic movement. You know what I'm saying? And they see the cross country runner, like, I don't, or the long distance marathoner, they're like, I don't want to look like that. So they want to put on weight. So it's funny you say that, because that's literally what everybody comes to the gym and says. They're like, I want to work on being more, you know, stronger, more powerful.
Being a sprinter.
Yeah, being a sprinter. Exactly. That's cool.
But I definitely don't want to put too much body mass, you know, because like you were saying earlier, it weighs up on you.
Yeah, you want to be lean, man.
Yeah, those dudes, they can't even touch their necks, man.
No.
Can't even see their necks.
No, if you look at it, like back in the days, all the superheroes would be like jacked, like just like steroided out jacked, like they put them. And then time went by and like now all the badasses on TV and movies and stuff, they're all like lean, like John Wick and all these dudes are all like kind of just leaner looking dudes, you know, because it's like, yeah, we know that they can move. And the big bodybuilder dudes, like, dude, you're gonna run out of breath in like 10 or 15 seconds if something bad happens.
Yeah, so. Definitely. As far as recovery and like taking care of your body, what are you doing?
it's
when you were taking care.
Yeah, no, I am now. I'm definitely taking care because now I'm dealing with it all. So, and I still want to keep training, which I am. I have a guy right next to my gym who moved in right next to me, and he's a physical therapist.
Great timing.
Hell yeah. So I see him like once a month. I try to. I mean, he just like does like dry needling and stuff. So he does like that kind of therapy on me, adjusts me, gets me right, tells me corrective exercises I need to do that would do things for me, like fire off my hamstrings. And then I have a like world-class massage therapist on the upstairs of my gym. So it's all in the same building. And then I have this vegan juice shop, right? And they're right above me and everything is like holistic. And I get like a turmeric and hemp protein smoothie after my workouts to recover, and I'm hitting the foam roller. So I actually have like a wellness center around my gym. So I feel good because now I'm at a point where like I can go and afford these things to like take care of myself. And that's one thing I never feel bad ever about spending my money on, is my health.
Definitely.
I will invest in myself because I believe in myself more than I believe in any other product on the earth. So I always invest back into me. So I'm constantly spending money on physical therapy, massage therapy, food, the foods that I buy, things like that. I'm like, I'm not cheap about my health.
And speaking on food, I mean, food's important. Food's a medicine.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
One of my friends that I had on a podcast, shout out to Stephen Lukey, he was saying how food is literally a medicine. So it's like what you take in is what you take out.
Yeah.
You know? If you eat correctly, it will help with inflammation. Yeah. And
yeah, and we live in the drug capital of sugar, like in America. And we're talking about inflammation, like, geez. And I'm not a nutritionist, a dietitian, nor a food scientist. My job is to give people great workouts and help motivate them to be more active. But in the food industry in America, it's literally job security for me because it's going to continue to make people unhealthy. And there is no quick fix. So the more McDonald's that pop up, the more I look around, I'm like, you'll need me one day. You're going to keep popping these up all over the place and people are going to eventually need me. It's gotten to a point where it makes me sick. Like me and my girlfriend the other, you know, I would say I'm 80% healthy eater, like 20% I fuck around.
Yeah.
But we were drinking and we were just having a blast and whatever. And we ordered some food and the weight was like a crazy weight. It wasn't even half bad food. I don't know if you've heard of the place Spice.
Spice?
Yeah, it's like an Indian cuisine or whatever. And she called and she's like, what's going on? You know, and they're like, oh, we're packed, jam packed. And I was like, it's crazy the one time that we want to eat bad. Eat bad food. This shit is all jam packed. It's like, what are these people doing every day? Like, you drive by any fast food restaurant, there's like a line out of the restaurant. Just notice that next time you're driving around. Like, look at fast food restaurants. You'll see a line at every fast food restaurant. Like, what are we doing? Like, you've been told this shit's bad. It's like, you've been told over and over and you continue to do it. Like, it's like your morning routine to go to Starbucks, get a big ass coffee filled with whatever, and then you drink that and it's like you've already developed a dependency on this Starbucks.
You know, people spend an average American spends $10 a day on coffee. And that shit is insane to me. So I make my own coffee at home.
For 4 days, let's take that $10 and just pull it, right? Put it in a pool. And then, I mean, like, what do you do with it? I mean, that's
$40 right there.
I mean, per 350 million Americans or whatever it is. And it's just like, what the hell is going on?
Our society, the way I see it, it's just like people are always on the go. Like, they're just on the go and they need something quick. And they're so focused on their job and they don't pay attention to themselves or their health.
Right.
And then you look at like the top five factors of death, and a lot of it is stress and heart problems.
Yeah.
And it's just people not taking care of themselves.
Yeah, it's sad because they've been warned. It's like, that's the one thing you do have control over right now. We don't have a lot of control over a lot of things right now, but that's the one thing that we kind of do have control over, is taking care of your health. Like this, my girlfriend, believe it or not, she's going to hate that I'm saying this, but she was gaining weight. And to gain weight and then live in my household, right? It's probably sucks, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm always talking about it and I'm probably insensitive to the fact that she's going through something that I know nothing about or I never know, you know what I'm saying? So there's that ego, you know what I'm saying, kicking through. But I would be like, hey, you know, you need to work out. And she was stressed. She was going to school. She was working like every night bartending. So she'd work real late. And then I'd be like, get up and go to work. Like, I wouldn't understand where she was coming from. Well, COVID hit and the bars shut down and then everything shut down. And then she was just kind of like I saw this like veil come off of her, like, whoa, I'm free. And then she just started working out. And now where we're at now. So that was back in like March?
March, yeah.
So now we're at where we're at now and she's rocking. Like, she's been on this consistent routine and I'm like, isn't it crazy? Cause whenever her job started back up, her bar started selling food or whatever, and they were able to open up. She decided, like, I'm only working, you know, 3 to 4 days a week. I'm not working every single day like I was. And so now she's like, doesn't work Saturdays either. And it's just crazy because she took advantage of the pandemic and it's probably been her best fitness year of her life. Like she is in her rhythm and she's been doing it for months now and it's never going to go away. Like she's in it, you know, and yeah. She's developed that. It's like she got a trade out of the pandemic. So now she knows how to work out. She knows how to keep fit. She knows what to eat. And I just wish more people would have took advantage of having the time off or being at home and being able to work out or do something. I wish more people would have took advantage because it's important.
Read.
Yeah. Or read or do anything. Like learn a trade. There's, you know, fortunately for me, my gym was underground. It's underground. So I'm not going to lie. Like for 2 weeks, I shut down because I was kind of like in the hysteria of yeah. like, oh, go, you know, shit. Like, you know, I was gonna get sick, yeah. I was worried. Yeah. And then I was like, dude, I'm going to freaking not be able to pay rent in a second.
Yeah.
So I was like, I opened my gym for just me and my personal clients and I kept it running. Because my landlord wasn't going to take, he was going to be like, dude, your rent's due or I'm kicking you out. Yeah. It's a basement. I don't need you in there. You need to pay rent. So I started paying rent and I just took on people. That's what I did while she was working out. We left the gym open, but you know, personal clients. I don't know how I got in that, but.
And I don't think that's wrong either. I mean, look, I mean, with the way COVID is going on with the news, you know, it's very scary, but what they don't promote is like going for fresh air, going for a run, you know, like just keeping your metabolism moving. And
right.
I think that was one of the most important things with COVID that showed me. It's just, we got to keep like, be safe, but we got to keep moving. Yeah, you know, we can't just be sitting on our ass.
Yeah. Our immune system, it needed it. As you can see, people with the stronger immune systems did a lot better. And it's sad. It
sucks.
And it hurt America tough because the sugar and the laziness and the TV shows and the drive-throughs and the, you know.
We're full of entertainment in America. And we also, I feel like we're babied in America too.
Yeah. Spoiled. And you don't think anything wrong could happen to you. But it's almost selfish when you think about it in a sense that these people have been warned and they still choose to live and lead very unhealthy lives, which sucks because that kind of raises our healthcare premiums.
Yeah.
So even people who are healthy, like go out and try to get insurance and it's like, wait, shouldn't we get incentives to get better healthcare instead of these people are literally being told that it's awful and their obesity problems and the diabetes and the stuff that they bring onto themselves is causing all of us to have a harder time with healthcare in America. It's a business and it's being fed.
You know, people like to blame other things. You know, you can blame the government, politicians, right. whatever, this and that. But at the end of the day, it's ourselves to blame.
I mean, how obvious.
We have to hold each other accountable.
How obvious is that to you as a person? Like to know, like, look, man, at the end of the day, like you had time. You know you had time. I hate when people say I was too busy for this. And it's like, I get it. If you have kids, I don't have kids. I can't relate. I can't. But you will get upset whenever I call you out and say, well, why didn't you go out there and do that? Or, oh, you were at the beach this weekend and that's why you didn't work out? What were your kids doing? Oh, they were playing off in the water. Why didn't you go throw the ball with them? Why'd you just sit there and drink? You know, I get it, vacation, whatever, but you could have been active. It doesn't hurt to be active. Like, I mean, it's little things like that. And most people say, I don't understand. But I understand, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it, like life's hard, man. But like I said earlier, the one thing you have control over is your health, period. Definitely. I think way more people need to take that serious. It's a big deal.
Well, in America, you literally have the freedom to be free. I mean, to be fat or not fat.
Right.
You really have that opportunity. You can sculpt your body however you want to sculpt. That's why I say, like, do you consider yourself an artist? Because I feel like our mind is the artist and our body's like the canvas.
Right.
And we're sculpting it the way we want to sculpt it.
Yeah.
And that's how I think it is with America. So you have your choice if you want to be fat or not,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of them the majority of them choose to be fat. And that's such a harsh word. Now it's crazy. It's not a harsh word. It's really not, but now it's like the N-word's a harsh word. Like saying fag is a harsh word. Like they take it hard. Like that's a hate word.
Yeah.
But now if you say fat, like that's becoming like, you saw how I got like kind of like, I said it and I was like, oh, fat. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's becoming a harsh word for people who are overweight because instead of them, they're like taking it as like, it's offensive. Like, oh wait, man, that's rude to call me fat. Like, okay. Like Lizzo, didn't she go through like this? There's like that artist Lizzo. Do you know who that is?
Lizzo.
She's like a singer. She's an overweight singer. And she, like a lot of people like her. She has a lot of fans, but she's okay and she's comfortable in her body and she's very overweight. And she went through this spiel. I guess people were making fun of her weight and she was like, I'm comfortable. And then she got like this backing of people who are like, yeah, like don't hate on this woman for her weight. You know, she goes, you don't know what she goes through, and she's a comfortable woman in her weight. And I'm like, that's cool, but science don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I get it. And I if you're comfortable in your, that's great. But if you stop being active and you sitting around and you telling people it's okay to just sit around and be lazy and not get active, that's not cool. You're basically telling people smoke cigarettes. It's perfectly fine. Just smoke cigarettes. You're like telling them be unhealthy. It's okay to be unhealthy. And it's like, nah. Let me tell you how this costs you in the long run when you start listening to this kind of propaganda. Like, you know what I'm saying? I sound like a fitness Nazi saying it, but I'm not. I'm like, look, man, you know, don't try to be like that girl. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're going to have some health issues come up. You're not going to feel happy in your body. She's got millions of dollars and she's fat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
She could get surgery if she wanted to.
Exactly. If it really hits the fan, she's all right. She's got that luxury. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. And it's systemic food. It's like when I was little, I couldn't leave the table if I still had food on my plate. Eat all your food. And then they want to make force feed you to eat more. And then it's like, oh, he doesn't eat enough. He's this. And it's like, you're not eating this little bit. Just put it in the fridge. Save it for later. Like, why do you have to gorge yourself until everything's gone? Save it.
We were kind of taught that when we were young.
Yeah. Sit at the table until you finish your food. I don't want you to be hungry later. They like instill it into you. And then like they tell you like early at an early age, like McDonald's is a treat. It's like a treat. You get excited.
I don't even want to take my kids to McDonald's.
Yeah. Nobody does now because you grow up and you're like, wait, I've been bamboozled, man. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to take their kid to McDonald's anymore. They're like, oh, that shit's horrible for you. But we've been taught like that was a treat, candy and all this stuff. And now we're addicted
especially
to sugar.
Candy.
We're all addicted to sugar. Most everybody is. It's hard to get off of it. And you always want something sweet, you know?
Honestly, it's just the way it was constructed to us at such a young age.
Yeah.
We just have to figure life on our own, you know? We can't really let, like, all these different opinions, and we can't put them into our minds, because when we do that, like, you have all these voices in your mind. It's like, what do you want to do, you know?
Right. No, I agree.
But what you were saying earlier, people won't hear what they want to hear, but that's not how it should be.
Right.
I think humans need to, as humans, help each other out. I think some people take words harsh, and they just don't know how to take criticism.
Right.
And I think do you think we're becoming too sensitive?
Absolutely. Everybody's way too sensitive. It's like comedy can't even be comedy anymore. It's going to offend somebody. Yeah. It's going to be all over the news. And it's going to be a movement and the cancel culture that goes on. I mean, I see it every day in the gym, surprisingly. I see it every day. Got to be careful. I have a policy, man. You can't make fun of nobody, which that shouldn't make fun of people, period. You know what I'm saying? But when you're in that gym, like, you don't get to look at somebody and be like, what are they doing? Or what are they, like, mind your own business. Because when you just mind your own business, you don't have to be offended by anything because you're minding your own business. And so that's kind of like our motto in the gym. It's like rule number one is mind your own fucking business. Don't come up in my gym worried about what that person over there is doing. If that dude's doing backflip handstand burpees, let that dude do it.
Yeah.
Don't be like, dude, that's crazy. That's wrong. You know,
when you're in the world of gym, it's stay in your own lane.
Yeah.
You know, because when you stay in your own lane, you focus more on yourself. You're more in tune with yourself and you get a better workout.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the whole sensitive thing. It's just like in business, and I see where these businesses are going. Whenever something is said or something, like they find something on somebody's Twitter like from 5 years ago, it might have offended people, the business goes on this all in, like, we're gonna get rid of them, we're canceling them from our business, we don't do that, and blah blah blah. And it's just like, I get it in the business sense, like, you don't want to lose your base. You know, if people start seeing you as that kind of business, they're not going to want to come, or they're going to be too scared to want to deal with you or too offended. And that's the problem with being offended by everything. We're soft.
Yeah, we're becoming soft. Yeah,
America's soft than it used to be.
I think everyone just needs to watch South Park. I think he'll...
I know. Like, make a joke of it. I love South Park, man. I haven't been watching any of the new episodes, but I went on a binge there when it was first on Netflix, like a while ago.
So I took a class, History of Harry Potter, in college. Mm-hmm. So if I could teach a pop culture class, I would teach it on South Park, honestly.
Yeah. Those dudes know what they're talking about. They're making a joke out of it all.
Out of it all.
But it's so real. But you know, the thing with South Park is like, they never will run out of content because they just go with what comes out next. They'll never run out of content.
Their content is literally about the joke of what's going on in society.
Right, in the best time. So I'm sure the episodes are great because it's a huge joke.
You have to check them out, man.
Yeah.
The pandemic special, it was the best shit I've ever heard in my life.
I'm sure it was hilarious. I'm sure. Well, we're actually going to Colorado next month.
Hey, go to Tegrity Farms.
Where?
Tegrity Farms.
What's that?
It's in South Park. It's in South Park.
Oh, my bad. I'm like, I'm not there yet. But it's just so funny because I think about South Park when I think about Colorado. I'm like, oh, those little fucking dudes.
When I went back in January, I was talking to a couple locals and I was like, I was in Denver. I was like, is Denver kind of like South Park? South Park came from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
That's
out of
the tight. People I met. That's tight.
And they eat very clean too. That's one thing I noticed in
Denver. They're healthier people. It's weird. So have you seen that Zac Efron show?
No, like sustainability show?
Yeah, yeah. He like travels the world. It's actually really good.
I heard about it.
You should check it out. It's really informative and you kind of like mind blown on a bunch of shit. But there's these like little pockets on the earth called blue zones. It's like where people live the longest. So it's like this little place. And I can't remember exactly where it was, something European. And these people were living until they were like 100 and something years old consistently, like the community was. And like there would be a husband and wife that would have made it like to like in their hundreds, which you know how rare it is to get a husband and wife to both make it to their hundreds.
That's nice.
So it's crazy. And they had low protein, high carb diets. And they would like eat handmade noodles and stuff. And they were like talking to like a 98-year-old man. This dude would walk to the bar with him, had him a glass of like white wine. Crazy. And it's wild because I think that if there was to be a place, it would be like Colorado would be like our blue zone in America. If we had one where people I think are the most healthy, I'm sure I could look that up and probably find out if I'm right or not, but it seems like they'd be the more healthy.
I could see that
place because they're at altitude. One, so they're already, and they have so much outdoor stuff to do there.
So much outdoors.
It's crazy. So they always have something to do, like day in and day out. Like I can't wait. We're road tripping when we go, just because I want to take my bike and like, you know, I'm gonna go ride up there. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go like 10 miles and feel like my lungs are gonna pop.
Yeah, probably.
But it'll be cool.
Nah, it sounds like an awesome time, man.
Yeah.
If you're traveling to Colorado, if you ask me, you're definitely being separated from like society and people, you know, because you're very in the outdoors. You have your space. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to Breckenridge.
Breckenridge?
Yeah.
Never been there.
So it's like there's a lot of ski resorts over there. There's a lot of stuff to do. I've never been to Breckenridge. I've been to Denver every time I've gone. But we're excited about going.
But by the time you get there, it should be snowing and everything, huh?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know how, you know, I don't know what the way the world is now. You know, you don't know like when cold and when it's hot and whatever. So it should be snowing. We're going to have a good time.
That's good, man. So, I mean, with everything that you're doing and just all the obstacles that we have in society, how are you able to stay motivated?
Man, I believe in myself, man. I think I come off cocky and egotistical to a lot of people once they start to get to know me. And to me, I don't think that. And that's another, that could be cocky on the out from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
To me, I just feel like
confidence.
Yeah. And I talk shit during workouts to people. If they're working out with me, I'm like, what? You weren't ready for this. You're not fit like you said you were. I invite people to my gym just to feel like, just to be like, look, like, you know, I'm really on this level of fitness for real. Like I really do this shit. Like I don't just take cute ass videos.
Like Steve Fletcher.
Yeah. Yeah. And not even, you know, even in my opinion, more, because I'm doing shit that makes people real uncomfortable. Like, we're not just going to sit here and curl till our arms get tired and do some heavy ass bench press. Like, we're going to get to the point where your heart feels like it's going to break. I want to see what you look like whenever you're ready to throw up, you're queasy and you're sick. I'm trying to see what that feeling's like. I look for that shit. So whenever, what motivates me is just knowing that I, honestly, in a sense, like I'm better than these other dudes. You know, and they will say the same thing about me. And if they don't, then they lost already. If their mindset's not on that, then they lost already. I might as well come and take your shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what I tell her, you know, when I'm not just posting no cute ass videos.
Yeah.
Like I'm really in there working and I don't have time to post no cute ass videos. I have people hitting me up trying to take pictures in my gym and shit. And it's no offense to them. I'm just like, look, I'm not letting you come. You can come in here and let me put you through it and have your photographer stand and take photos while you're getting put through it. But we're going to have only that kind of energy in here. We're not just going to pose. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're coming here to work. That's what this whole shit's about. Nobody can hear you down there. There's no windows. You can't scream. You can't get out. You're just down there. So
it says, show me the sign. Just work on yourself.
Yeah, put
for
your
that
phone
time.
Down. Put your phone down. Let's go. Let's see what you're all about. You know, like, back to the question. Just like, I truly believe that I'm very good at what I do. And I don't think that once we get inside, like, you know, for instance, Michael Jordan was good at playing basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is my court, like that gym. When, like when you come in, I really believe that whoever in the world wants it, they can come in there and find out. We'll do a whole bunch of different things and we'll just see who walks out of the gym first. So I'm motivated by that. And also motivated by, you know.
And that's that hunger. That's that hunger inside of you.
Exactly. And I take that and it exudes off to my clients because they know that half the workouts that they're dying, they can't breathe, they feel sick, they feel queasy. I just did the workout. I've already done it. I've done the workout. I know exactly what the workout feels like. I programmed it. I do all the these, before I give my clients any kinds of like crazy workouts, I do it first to make sure I know what it feels like. It's like being caught past the tase, get tased before he uses a taser, so he knows what it feels like before he puts it on somebody. So I do the workout, I know what it feels like, and then I put them through it. So then I'm able to push and say, well, I'm not gonna sit here and scream in your face right now because I know what that part felt like. So I'm gonna let you just get through that and then we'll move on. We won't try to rest too long. But also it's making sure that I help as many people as I can with the gift that I've been given until I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like I gotta wake up every day and try to help as many people as possible with the gift that I've been given. Like I'm not good at putting together community work.
Yeah.
Like I'm not good at reaching out. I'm not good at doing podcasts. I'm not good at all these other things. I found my niche. Like I'm good at this shit. I'm good at one-on-one personal training and helping change people's lives and motivate them to think I should be taking care of myself. People will come back to me 5 years later and be like, hey man, I was doing this hike the other day and I just kept thinking about you in my head. Like, fuck man, keep going. I remember this shit that you told me. And I'm like, man, that really hits different. So that motivates the hell out of me. But
hell yeah, you sound like David Goggins.
Yeah.
Like, and that dude, I like that dude, man. I like don't be soft too, on each other.
Yeah, I like him too. I would love to get a workout in with that dude. I think he might think there's not a lot of people like him out there. I think the same thing. I don't think there's a lot of people like me. I think, and I don't even try to reach out to people. You see, like on my Instagram, like every once in a while I'll be on my story a lot, but I won't post like a thing on there trying to motivate tons of people to do anything. I'll post like, this is my circuit today. I can give a fuck less if you do it. I'm just saying this is my circuit. So, you know.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So like, how you were saying earlier, you're your own test dummy. So you do the workouts and if you fuck with them, then you start implementing them and giving them to your...
Exactly.
I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, how would you like it if some dude was telling you to do 50 burpees straight? He was screaming at you the whole time to keep going.
And he has never done
50 burpees. What the fuck does he... You look like an idiot, man. You've never even done 50 burpees before, but you're out here taking people's money and telling people to do 50 burpees and you're going to sit here and yell at this in this lady's face right here where she's at her most vulnerable point in life and you're going to sit here and yell in her face and tell her to keep going and she needs to push and she's being a pussy. Seeing all this shit, you're screaming at her, trying to sound like your little Instagram people that you like to listen to. You know what I'm saying? Like, first off, you're not even being yourself. Second off, you've never done 50 burpees in your life. You know what I'm saying? You faint, pass out, and die, look like a dummy in front of these people. And third off, like, you don't have that woman's heart. You don't know what she's going through. You're going to fuck around and get her hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, don't get me started on these trainers out here, man. I love a lot of them, but there's some of them. It's like, man, you're saturating the market with a bunch of stupid shit that you're doing.
You're not wrong with that.
They'll claim they got a bunch of knowledge. But you know, you learn from being in that heat. But yeah, man, there's a lot of them out here, man. Gyms out here, and they way overcharge people. And you know, for them, a lot of it's about the money and how much can we sell and let's hit our sell point. And I get the business, you know what I'm saying? But I don't even ask my clients for money. They just pay me. I don't even ask. I don't say, hey, your payment's due. They'll go like four sessions and they won't even know that they're over. I'll just keep training them. I won't say anything. And they'll be like, oh yeah. I'll be like, it's okay though. If you don't want to keep going, like those are on the house.
Yeah.
Like I just don't. And people tell me all the time, those are bad business moves. In my whole life, since I was even at Gold's Gym when I started, I wouldn't charge people. And it was again, at Gold's Gym, I had to charge people and I still wouldn't. But I had to charge people if they couldn't make it into a session. And I still to this day don't charge people for not making it into a session. So 10 sessions that were supposed to be used in 5 weeks may last 10 weeks. And because they didn't use their sessions. Because my job isn't to take their money. My job is like, I was trying to help you. I don't need money. I need the gratification that I helped you. Like it was personal to me. And you make me feel like I lost at a board game.
So that's like your money right there. Yeah. Your money is like you helping people out. And
I just want to help you. That's all I want to do. The money, we'll figure that out. We can figure money out. Money is fine. But if I help you and I put the best I can into making you the best, you're going to tell everybody about me. And then more people are going to want to come because they see the way that you look and the way that you changed. So my goal is to help you. I want you to live a happy life and be healthy and take the stress away. This is America, man. You fucking probably work all the fucking time. You probably go home and your husband or your wife nags at you a little bit. Your kids probably pull on your pants a little bit. They probably jump on your chest while you're laying on the couch. You probably have to eat shit food. You probably are tired. You probably woke up early this morning and somebody gave you a fender bender. But when you come in for 1 hour into that gym, you don't have to think about shit. What are you going to do? You're going to walk out? You know, leave, you're there for 1 hour. Put, you put your phone away, and for 1 hour, you don't have to think about shit besides exercise. Like, nothing else should matter. There is no emergency going on. You're just at peace for 1 hour. Just fucking working out in a private gym with none of these douchebags around staring at you, telling you you're doing this or you're not doing that. You're just free to yourself for 1 hour. And I see that, and it's amazing what comes out of people's mouths and the things that they talk about when they're just so vulnerable and like, oh, like,
it's a meditation.
It's crazy. It's literally, that is everything for my training. And I think that they understand it. And I think that's what keeps them coming back and keeps my schedule so full. I think everybody wants to experience that. Like that one, the 1 hour of me being completely engaged.
And I think it's also like your level of, you know, determination and respectfulness that like comes in with, like, people see that, you know, they understand it's authentic, you know?
Right.
And it's like, well, man, this guy, he's not out for my money. He's out for my better of my life, you know?
Yeah.
For my benefit. So, you know, I'm gonna keep coming to him.
Yeah. I just want to help.
He's going to tell me things I don't want to hear, but it's anything, it's just, it's going to only going to better me.
Right. And I'm understanding. Like, I have two clients, husband and wife, and one of them's he's a 59-year-old man.
Yeah.
We do 40-mile bike rides together. We rode to New Braunfels once on our bikes from here. I believe in them more than they believe in themselves initially. And all my clients, I believe in them more than they believe in me. And I tell them that's wrong. If I already believe in, because I'll be like, man, do this handstand. They'll be like, what the fuck, a handstand? This dude really thinks I can do a fucking handstand? And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. And I just like kind of walk off and I'm like, do it. And they're just like, where do I even start? And I'm like, I don't know, but just fucking do it. Or do a pull-up, and they can't even move. And now they're doing pull-ups and shit. Or they're doing things that they never would have thought. Or they're doing 10,000 meter ski ergs. Have you ever been on a ski erg before?
I don't even know what the fuck a ski erg is.
So a ski erg is, okay, have you been on a row machine?
Yeah.
Like the Concept 2 row machines? Yeah. They're brutal. Have you ever done like a 500 meter all out, just fucking blow it out of the water?
I don't think I've done a 500 meter.
It is fucking insane. So it feels like you ran a 400 meter dash, if I can compare it to anything. Like a legitimate track meet, 400 meter dash.
And
you get done and you're just like, you can't breathe. Your legs are just expanding. Your head hurts. Like everything's fucked, right? So I put my clients on these machines. Well, the ski erg, so the rower, you know, you're using the legs, you're pushing, right? Well, the ski erg, you reach up, you grab these handles and you just thrust these handles.
Oh, I know exactly down. Which ones you're talking about.
And it has
exactly
a resistance on it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a damper setting and we just leave that fucking damper on 10. It might not be the healthiest thing. I don't know. For somebody smaller, we leave it on 10. I don't let them take it off. It's the hardest damper. And they'll come in. And the other day, my client came in. I was like, we're going to do 5,000 meters. 5,000 meters takes like 20 minutes of nonstop fucking pulling this thing. Just and pulling. Your lungs are on fire. Your body is in pain. And you're just there doing the same fucking movement for 18 minutes. That, for me, it's 18 minutes. For them, it's like 20 something.
So you've already done it.
I did it first.
Before, so that's right.
Before I said, man, I'm going to do 5,000. So I just skied 5,000. I thought that was an accomplishment. It's like, oh, fuck, I did 5,000 meters. So everybody else, all my other trainers who train out of my gym and all the other guys, now they've done 5,000. So then one day, one of my favorite guys in my gym and a guy I've known for so long, his name's Gino. He actually does meal preps, Lion Fit Foods. Shout out to them, man. I fucking love that dude. He was in the gym and I was like, you know, fuck it. Let's do 10,000. And 10,000 is like 40 minutes of just this blasting out. It's incredible the way it makes you feel. So me and him just did 10,000 meters, probably 6,000 meters in. I hear him talking, just talking shit. These other motherfuckers can't do this shit. Sweat pouring off his body and shit. I'm over there like, fuck, I'm actually tired. Like, I don't want to talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to talk, man. You're like, and he's just like, these motherfuckers don't want it with us. Fuck them. They're not ready for this shit. And we're just like killing this fucking ski, man. I mean, there's sweat. We're like puddles of our own sweat.
Drenched
in fucking sweat. And we finish. And it was amazing. And it was like, it's weird because I set up on the board. I said, okay, we've done 5,000. We've done 10,000. I've had somebody else say, I needed to do 15. So I was like, I'm going to do 15,000 because nobody's done that. And I need to do in here what nobody's done. So I just came into the gym one day and I was like, you know what? I told my clients, I had an 11 o'clock client. I got done training them. I said, I think I'm going to ski 15,000 meters. They're like, what the fuck? You're crazy. I was like, nah, I'm going to ski. I'm going to fucking ski 15,000 meters. I'm going to keep a world-class pace. I'm just going to fucking ski 15,000. So whenever they left, I took my shirt off. I drank some like powdered carbs shit that one of my trainers brought in. And I was like, all right. Fucking here we go. 15,000. Man, I was there. I was happy. I was sad. I was emotional. It felt spiritual. I just wasn't going to quit. I have this quote. Literally, I have this quote, this huge quote on my wall right by the ski machine. And it says, if you quit, nobody will care, but you'll know for the rest of your life. And it was just like, fuck, I was like 7,000 or 8,000 in and my body was cramping. And I was like, okay, I've been here before though. And I get to 10,000, I'm like, all right, I've been here. But then I knew with every ski, every pull that I had after 10,000, that was the furthest I've ever gone. And I was like, okay, well, 15,000 is what it is. Man, probably like around like 12,000, I felt like high. Cause I was keeping a pace, you know, and I'm not an endurance dude.
Yeah.
And I was keeping a pace that was just like incredible. And I got to like 12,000 and I like was like tearing up and I was like getting all spiritual and my I was like sad and I was like thinking about things like from my childhood and I was like, it took me there.
It took me there.
I got done and I remember and I still have the video. I got on my Instagram and I was like, and it just looks like you could see the swelling in my eyes because I was just like, I just had like this moment and I was like, I don't think most people in the fitness industry have experienced that fucking moment. I think that's what separates me at the end of the day is like, I'm willing to find that moment, like that dig moment. Deep. Like I'm always joking the gym and it's going to come back and haunt me. And I always joke in the gym. I'm like, one day these workouts will be enough to kill me. And like, how beautiful would that be to just this? I'm going to go as hard as I can when I'm like 80 years old. I'm going to run a full Ironman and just die in the ocean.
Killing I think a that's shark, a good way to die.
Sharks on my leg. My girlfriend's watching me just beast mode this shark. My wife at the time will be watching me just beast mode this shark in the ocean and it just takes me under and just like a glorious ending. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my shit. You know, fitness is my shit. Like, I'm weird about it, man.
I don't see anything weird about that. I mean, shit, I even heard that Elon Musk wants to die in Mars. So you dying by working out, I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty badass.
Yeah, man.
Die doing something you love.
Yeah, obviously, like, I don't want to hop on my bike and go die down the road, you know, or something like that. But once I live a good life of this, and I hope as many people, you know, if that's just the way that I went out, like, you know, a lot of people want to die in their sleep. Like, I would love
to do that.
I would love to just cross the finish line. I'm like old and they snap a picture and I'm just kind of like,
just fall.
It's over.
That's it.
Yeah, he did it. He finished and he's out. That's it. That's all she wrote. I just want my whole thing to be summed up with fitness. That's what this dude did.
I like that, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
That took me to a different, like, just perspective.
You got
to
come in and do it.
No, definitely.
Come in. Whenever you can possibly get in, come in and I'll do it with you. And we'll do 10,000. We'll get up for it. We'll do 10,000.
Especially if you call me a pussy, I'm not going to stop.
Nah, when you come in, you're gonna have a good time. The energy in there is crazy, man. It's crazy. The building was built in like 1901. It's got carvings in the wall. Like people who are like in love, like carved their names in my wall in like 1925.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw a little bit of the architecture through Instagram. And then there's this one quote that I liked a lot from Kobe Bryant that you have. Something about like lazy people.
Yeah. I don't relate to lazy people. Me and them don't speak the same language. Like, I don't want to understand you. Like, I don't need to understand you, and I don't want to understand you, basically. Yeah. Like, we don't talk the same.
Kobe, when he died, he left an impact in my life where it's like, if you appreciate Kobe Bryant and you admire him, it's like, you want to live that legacy through him.
Yeah. And you want to go.
Yeah.
You want to go hard. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't think there'll ever be somebody that mentally, I've never seen anybody that mentally, like, we speak of David Goggins and Wim Hof, and they're very mentally. But man, like Kobe was, like his platform was bigger, and he was able to really
played in LA too.
He's just a legend. Like he's a legend, and when you talk about like work ethic and what it means to like really work hard and like stay over, like you know consciously that you didn't put in enough work.
Yeah.
And you leave, and the rest of the day you sit there and you think like, yeah, but I didn't. Did I get better? I don't know. I think about that all the time. I'll leave the gym and I'm like,
did I give it my all?
I don't think I. Sometimes I did. I'm like, oh, I think I just beat everybody. Like if there was a workout and there was five people, I just went harder than them. I just did enough to go harder than them. But did I go enough to like really take myself out of my comfort zone? So guys will come in and I'll set up a workout and we'll do like 1,000 meter row to start. Well, for me, I can do 1,000 meter row averaging like 135 per 500 meters.
Yeah.
Easily. So I'm off the row machine. I'm feeling good. They're laboring on the row machine, like dying on the row machine. And I'm kind of like, fuck, I feel good. And they're hurting because they're not as developed on the row machine as I am. So yeah. I'm basically, it all comes back around to, it's like whenever I do yoga, like I struggle. You do something different. Like I'm good at what I do and the things that I like to do, but I don't know, man. I don't know where I was going with that.
I think where you're going was is Kobe's mentality and everything is, I mean, different realms.
Yeah, you know, he's just so great. You know, like you knew that he probably really did work as hard as he could every time he went in.
And the fact that even to this day, he's dead, but he would still said, I could beat Michael Jordan. I'm better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
For someone to say, I don't think LeBron would say.
He would say that about him still. He'd say, I'm still the number one.
Oh, for sure.
That's just amazing. And then like his Achilles injury, like the mental toughness. I don't know if you remember when he tore his Achilles
and he hit the two free
throws. And then he came back out walking on an Achilles. Like in the fitness industry, that's absurd to be able to walk and your Achilles is in shambles. This dude's just out there, just like not even like a hard limp. It was like grit your teeth, kind of like, this sucks. But
he made it look like a twisted ankle.
Yeah, like a twisted ankle. Exactly. Level one ankle sprain. Yeah. Was nothing. Like what? Nothing a massage couldn't fix.
Right. The meme I love the most is when LeBron gets a cramp in his calf and he gets like carried away.
Him off the, he's super dramatic, dude. Yeah. He's great. But he's not just,
his greatness.
He's just super dramatic, man. He came into the league, I think, in a time and he was already like,
they're already babying him.
Yeah, they were already, and he was just, he's been in the game. He's been doing his thing though. I can't hate on that dude, but he's just in my mind, better basketball player. Maybe he might be better than Kobe mentality wise.
No one would be
nobody. I don't even think Jordan had the mentality, the competitiveness that I just don't think that, he was different.
And then for Kobe just to right away go after MJ, as a rookie, just right away, boom.
Yeah, and there was no like I'm trying. There was no like he was like, nah, I'm gonna be the best.
And I'm gonna give it to
you. Like I'm here to be the best.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's how like a lot of people should be, is whatever they want to do, whatever they want to accomplish. But even if you go to the gym for an hour, I think sometimes you need to have that ego, but have it controlled.
Yeah, I think when you came in to train with me, what did we have, an ab session?
Yeah, it was like
I want to say I put you through like a core session that was just ridiculous. And you came in and you were very in shape. I remember that. You were in good shape cardiovascularly.
Yeah.
But I just remember it was like a core session that I put you through. And I remember some of the exercises and you were like burning real bad. And I was like, yeah, he gets it. He knows. This is tough. And you went through it just fine too.
Appreciate that. Hey, man. Your presence in the gym, it's like Wim Hof, like his presence, like when people are doing the breathing work, like your presence itself, it's like it motivates you to like not look like a bitch, honestly.
Yeah.
I was not about to look like a bitch in front of you. No.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to look like a bitch besides specific people like the other trainers that run around on Instagram talking shit.
That is what it is.
Hey man, I know nothing about the outside realm of fitness. I dabble in things, but when it comes to that, I'm very confident that I'm one of the best in the city. And if anybody's listening to this podcast and y'all want to come find out,
Where's your gym at?
So we don't even give out our location.
Oh.
So the enough clues that they had in this podcast is enough for them to try to figure it out. We don't give out our location unless somebody's ready to come in there.
I like that.
And the gym doesn't have a name. You call the gym whatever you want to call the gym. What's comfortable to you? It's underground and it's low key and it's just a private studio. There's no memberships. So if you get in there, it's because you know somebody. You know what I'm saying? And I think my clients love that shit. Like they're going into like the bat cave. People call it the dungeon. People call it the laboratory. People call it the grave. They call it the...
it's like those underground speakeasy bars, man. That's what it is.
Yeah. My guy Gino calls it a Gotham City. It's just different down there. It's just different.
I definitely have to get in for a workout.
Please do, man, because you'll love it. And that's the kind of... you're the kind of people that the gym needs in there. It needs like doers. It's like the energy that gym vibes off of is we actually are having like a ghost problem right now in the gym. And I'm like, it's good energy, man. But people, so I have a little camera in my gym and it wakes me up like 1 a.m. and there's like these orbs. Like, do you believe in that? I don't know. I'm not a believer. So I always just be like, it's a bug. And people are like, dude, you can't say that's a bug. That's this. And they're like, everybody hounds me. Even my girlfriend. She's like, no, dude, that's a spirit. That's this. And it's old. And there's a lot of bad stories. But I believe personally, if it is something, it's like a real positive energy. Because I've been in there when nobody's in there. And it's dark. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And nothing. I've been in there at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I feel nothing. I just feel like I'm in there to work.
Through my experiences with what you're saying, what I've learned, as long as you don't like mess with the ghost and as long as you're doing you, then you have nothing to worry about, just let them just roam around,
Right.
They're not going to affect you. They're not going to bother you. If you're not bothering them, they're not going to bother you.
Yeah. And me personally, I just don't believe it. So I think I don't see it.
I like that.
I think like my girlfriend believes it. So she swears that she's seen it. And I'm like, why wouldn't I have seen it then? And then she's like, oh, you don't believe it. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the thing.
Because you don't believe it.
It's because I don't believe it. So if I, but just because X may be comforting to you doesn't make X true to everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But it's also fun to play around with. I always tell them they just need to make sure that they clean up after themselves if they're using the gym. And I'm not there.
I like that. Well, is there anything else you would like to say to the people?
No, man, but if my boy Gino listens, he has a podcast, and I have yet to do his podcast, but I came and did your podcast.
I appreciate that.
My bad for that, Gino. To everybody else, though, I don't got nothing to say, but for all of y'all that didn't like my shit-talking portion on this segment, if y'all want to come and find out what that's all about, I'm not sorry to any of y'all. Y'all can come get that work, too.
Well, thank you, Sean, for bringing your knowledge and just not being soft on the podcast,
man.
Nah,
man.
I like the energy, bro. I like the energy. Keeping it yourself, keeping it real, keeping it authentic.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, that is all, folks. I want to once again thank Sean Sykes for coming onto the podcast and keeping it real. And if you have any questions, make sure to follow him on Instagram at Sykesercise. It's going to be SikeserCise. Sykesercise. I also want to thank JC3 Studios for the awesome outro beats. Keep doing your thing, bro. Respecting the hustle. And I also want to thank NK Music for making the beats to the introduction. And most importantly, I want to thank everybody else for supporting the podcast and tuning in. Thank you guys so much. Que todo está calmado en el barrio y vive la raza.